Hi, my name is Rachel, and you're listening to Maker Style, a creative lifestyle podcast where we talk about small business, blogging, and of course, lots and lots of sewing. Listening to the Maker Style podcast is like sitting down for a coffee and chat with your girlfriends who are just as passionate about making things as you are. Hey everyone, I hope that you're having a fantastic day today. Today I am so excited to be bringing you episode 6 of the Maker Style podcast, which is going to be all about how to use Instagram effectively as a sewing blogger. Our wonderful guest today is Beth from Sew DIY. If you've ever been on Instagram to look up sewing things, I'm almost certain you've come across her page. She is a super inspirational sewing blogger and an amazing pattern designer that is just killing the Instagram game. Her posts are perfect and they always do really well. And she has so many awesome tips to share with us today about how to really improve your feed if that's something that you're consciously working towards doing. Of course, if you use Instagram just for fun and that's all you want it to be, that's totally cool. You can do whatever you want. But if you're a blogger who's trying to really curate their feed, kind of define their style and grow your following in that way, Beth has some amazing tips and I know you're really gonna enjoy what she has to say. Another really exciting thing about this episode is this is actually the very first Maker Style interview I ever recorded. Beth is the original Maker Style pioneer. She came on the show when I had absolutely no clue what I was doing, and she was so wonderful. Even though I was super apprehensive and nervous, she was great. And this whole interview is just really fun, and I hope it shows how far just even the recordings have progressed in this last 6 episodes. I don't have anything else to say other than I think you're really gonna love this episode. It's really information packed and lots of fun. So I'm not gonna keep you waiting any longer. Let's head on into the interview. Is there a certain guest or a certain topic you wanna hear talked about on the Maker Style podcast? If you let me know, I'll make it happen. Just go online to thewildstitch.com, click on the podcasting tab, and go to submit your topic. Fill out the form, it'll take you 10 seconds, and I'll do my best to talk about whatever you want with whoever you want on the show. For coming on the show today. I really appreciate having you here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, do you mind telling the listeners who might not have already heard about you a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure. So, I feel like I should have practiced this part more.
No worries.
So I live in Los Angeles, California. I'm originally from Oregon, and I've been here about 10 years, and I work as a graphic designer and art director. And then in my spare time, I do lots of sewing. I've been sewing since I was a kid, and I've actually been blogging for about 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I changed over to the name Sew DIY maybe about 2.5 years ago, and then started my pattern line. So it's been a really great past couple of years connecting with the online sewing community and getting to know more people, and especially through Instagram.
So, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite social media.
Mine too.
Yeah, it's so easy to connect with people on there, yeah. And I love the visual part of it, which I think also really helps in sewing to be able to see what you're doing.
No, absolutely, and it's nice sharing. For the inspiration too, just seeing what other people are doing. It's a great way to connect.
Exactly.
Now, one thing listeners at home might not know is that recently you hit a really huge milestone on Instagram and hit 15,000 followers, and I think that's crazy. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it is crazy. and I started that account kind of at the end of 2013. I went back and looked at some numbers before we had our chat. And I think it really started taking off started in 2013 and then kind of took off in 2015. It's been really fun.
Can you kind of identify what in 2015 really led to the takeoff? Did you start doing anything differently?
I don't think I did. I think it's kind of a natural growth. But I think there are things that you can do to help you grow your Instagram. So certain things like participating in Me Made May or the So Photo Hop that's happening in September right now.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Or Make It Your Own March, like all of those things like really, really help with growth, because it gives you a bigger audience. So just going and looking at other people's photos and, sharing your own photos is just a really great way to meet new people. And then beyond that, I think it's just like daily consistency, developing your photo style, posting frequently. I try to do like one to two a day.
Really? Awesome.
Like my goal is one, and I don't always make it. And then if I'm able to, I try to do two. And then I keep it really, really focused on sewing. So I think that's probably important too, in a
No,
way, that,
absolutely.
there's not too much other stuff. And I have another Instagram account that's kind of more for personal things or just not about sewing. So if there's just like a building that I like, that's where I post that kind of stuff.
And do you
And
find
then
keeping that difference really helps to kind of grow your feed and keep your feed looking kind of
I think
curated?
definitely, definitely, because my other account looks totally different, and
Absolutely.
it is for like a totally different audience. And I think I have 200 followers
Yeah,
there.
friends and family and.
It's friends and family, and they're kind of, they're interested that I went to a baseball game,
Yeah, definitely.
but and then like the friends and family are not interested in what I was sewing or that, I used French seams.
Yes, no, definitely. I kind of had that thought recently that maybe I should reopen my personal account. I kind of close my personal account once I start using the Wild Stitch on Instagram more frequently. And I just kind of think that maybe my friends are getting a little sick of seeing all the fabric all the time. So maybe I'll have to open that one up again one day.
I think some of my friends and family do follow me on my sewing Instagram, but it's not really what they're interested in, so.
No doubt. Now, you did say that consistency was really important in helping to grow your feed, and you try and post one to two pictures a day. Do you have a plan for when you're going to be busy or you're not in town? Do you stock up pictures in advance? Do you kind of do any feed planning or stuff like that?
I do. So I've used the app Later.
Oh, cool.
I think it used to be called Latergram, but now it's just called Later. So, and you can use it online. So it's really good for searching and reposting. So I can go look and see, like, if someone has made one of my patterns, I can look for that hashtag and then kind of schedule that repost from there.
Oh, cool.
And then you can also upload photos either on the web, like on your computer, or from your phone and schedule a time for it. And then it will just give you a notification on your phone at the certain time when you're supposed to post.
Oh, how cool. That's awesome.
So that's really good for planning ahead, and I use that sometimes. But even I feel like the last couple of months I've even not been very good at planning ahead.
It's so hard in the summer.
It is, yeah. So, but I'll make notes and kind of like, if I'm getting really organized, like plan it out for the week. Like Monday, I'm gonna do kind of a work in progress or show what I made over the weekend. And on Tuesday, I'll show like an outfit of the day. Or Wednesday, I'm gonna have a new blog post, so I'll share that. So I do think about it, and like while I'm making things, think about what I want to share.
No,
And
absolutely.
yeah. And then, and also over time, I think I've gotten a lot better with photo editing. And that's something that really just takes a lot of practice.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
Do
just
you have a
try.
favorite app?
I use VSCO Cam. And then I also use Snapseed. And I think I've been using Snapseed for about a year. And I have a blog post about this that we can link to in the show notes.
Absolutely.
So I kind of do my first filtering in VSCO, and I'll often take the pictures there because you can adjust the exposure and the focus.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, so you can just like tap for where you want the focus or where you want it to measure the exposure from. And then you can adjust it too.
Oh, that's so handy.
Yeah, it gives you a little bit more control. So I'll do some editing there and then take it into Snapseed because you can just edit certain parts of the photo there. So if I just want to make the white of the background brighter, I can do that. Or if, you know, like change the saturation on one little part, I can just kind of paint that edit on.
Yeah, and the interface for using Snapseed I find is really cool too. Just the way it's kind of different than any other photo editing app I've ever used. It's like the way that you kind of twist instead of sliding.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I had downloaded it years ago and then like couldn't really figure out how to use it. But once I did learn how to use it, I really, really like it. And I use it every day.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a really big fan of A Beautiful Mess's A Color Story app. They have my favorite filters.
Yeah,
I really like that one.
I use that one too.
It's a good one. But I love that tip about the VSCO camera. I didn't know that the camera in that app was really good. And that's something I would have to look into.
Yeah, and you know, it all takes a little bit of learning and a lot of practice, and I'll take a bunch of photos, you know, like maybe 12 photos, and then just choose one that I'm going to use. So you know, arranging things differently, like kind of getting the right balance of white space versus object, and it takes practice and. just trial and error, like taking lots of photos and just seeing what looks good.
And I'm sure some of that also has to do with finding what your style is too. And once you kind of
know
how you like your pictures to work, I'm sure that kind of comes in a little bit more quickly.
Definitely.
What would you say that your photo style is?
Oh, I try to keep it really clean. So, you know, I have kind of like my in-process shots or, you know, even like a photo of a garment laying down, I'll just put it on whiteboard. Mm-hmm. So you can really see, you know, the scissors and the buttons or the
white crystal board
or the shirt. Huge. Yes. Yeah. So I think that's a really good way to go for Instagram because it's such a small space and people will scroll through so fast that you want to have something that's going to like really immediately get their attention. So I'll process colors kind of more brightly for Instagram than I would for my website. Because it feels like once you're on this small little phone, you need it to be brighter and more saturated and more impactful than when you're seeing it, you know, two or three times the size.
No, absolutely. I found that as well, especially if I've ever taken a picture I've used on Instagram and posted it on my blog. I'm like, whoa, this looks so different on a computer now. It's kind of strange how that works.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, for me, like going the opposite way, if I have something like one of my garment photos from the blog where, you know, I have something on and then I process it. And I'm like, oh, this looks great. Put it on the blog. And then I go to put it on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, it looks kind of dull here. Kind of change the colors and make this brighter, and so it's almost like over processing it a little bit for Instagram.
Oh, that's really cool. I guess I do that too, and I never really thought about that. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's, and you know, it's just the format of it, to do it a little differently.
Have you found there's anything on Instagram that you've tried over the last couple of years that really didn't work for you? Any kind of maybe popular advice that you don't think really works for you?
That's a really good question. I don't feel like I've done anything that's really failed or like, you know, like, oh, I did this and I lost 1,000 followers. Like, that's never happened.
That's good to hear. That's really good to hear.
Yeah. So, but there, you know, there are definitely, like, sometimes I'll post a photo and it won't get as many likes as I expect it to. And then I'll post another photo that maybe I'm not sure about and it gets a ton of likes. So I'm not always, it's sometimes hard to predict. Like,
no, absolutely. And I was just scrolling through my feed recently and I realized that one of my most popular Instagram posts was something that I actually said was a project, didn't work out, which is just kind of funny.
Yeah, it is funny how many comments you can get from project fails. Yeah.
You think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, I think there's a nice camaraderie, though, because everyone has those moments where, like, oh, no, I just burned a hole in my shirt.
Yeah.
or what, you know, I just sewed my sleeve on backwards.
Yeah, surged right through the wrong seam.
Yeah, so I think, and that's a nice thing about Instagram is that you can kind of share those things. And I really like being able to ask for advice too, because you can get such immediate help. It's so amazing. And people are so willing to help and so friendly.
And lots of great ideas too. Like so many good suggestions that I never would have thought of myself I've found from Instagram.
Yeah. And I even love it just for looking at what people have made with patterns. So like when I'm first going to go start making a pattern, I will look it up on Instagram and see what other people have done.
Yeah, I love the pattern hashtags. They're so fun to search through, and it's nice to be able to see what other people are doing, get some inspiration. And it's awesome. Like, people can do so many different things with one pattern, and it's nice to have all of that in one little place where it's easy to find everything you're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you're making things, it is a really good idea, too, to use that hashtag, because I've met a lot of people through projects that I've hashtagged, and you know, because they're like, oh, how did you, like, who's made this pattern? And then they find my photo, and you know, then we get to become Instagram friends.
Yeah, that's always fun, the Instagram friends. Now, speaking of hashtags, do you have any favorite sewing specific hashtags that you like to use, any kind of ones that you like to search through finding some good stuff on?
Yeah, I like to use kind of a bunch of sewing hashtags. I think probably my favorite one to look at is Me Made Every Day. There's always just lots of good stuff. I love seeing how people really wear their handmade clothes. Like the socialist hashtag, that's a good one.
That's my favorite. I love that hashtag.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I most consistently look through the hashtags when it's a special month, you know, so like Me Made May or So Photo Hop. That's when I'm really the best about going through and looking at other people's photos.
Yeah, definitely. And it's such a nice way to make friends too, because everyone's kind of participating in the same thing, excited about the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I think everyone during that time is really out there to meet new people and find new accounts and get inspired and even just get to know each other better. Like the first day of So Photo Hop, it was really fun to read everyone's little introduction. Like,
yeah,
you know, oh, I've been following you for a while, but I didn't know all this about you.
I was talking to a few people yesterday, because yesterday was the first day of the So Photo Hop, and I was chatting with a few people and they're like, oh, I didn't know you're from Canada. And there was probably like five people that I was chatting to yesterday that we didn't know we're all Canadians and we're all sitting here up north together without knowing it. So that was kind of
fun. Yeah. And I had a few people comment online like, oh, I live in Orange County or I live in the Valley. That's so like, cool. Oh, we're all close to each other. Didn't even know.
That's always kind of strange in the online world. You think everyone's so far away and then you're like, oh, wow, there's people that are part of this, like just down the street.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love too how people are all over the world. And since I'm on the west coast of the US, you know, I'm at the end of the day. for everyone else. So I love, like, before I go to bed at night, I can see, like, people in Australia posting for tomorrow's post. And I wake up and I see, like, what everyone in Europe has done. And
no, it's really cool. And seeing fashion in different places of the world, too, I think that's one of my favorite things, too. You know, just the way people dress in different seasons in different places of the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, like, where I live, it's warm all year round, so.
So jealous.
I'm kind of stuck in this sunny weather clothing rut, but. Yeah, so at any time of the year, there is someone around the world who's going to be dressing like me.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I would definitely trade it for the hot weather from the cold weather. We're just getting into winter right now. I was going to go to the beach today, but it is like not even 20 out.
Oh,
it's definitely fall in these parts.
Oh, that's kind of nice though.
Fall fashion, I guess.
yeah. I actually, before I moved to California, I did a lot of knitting, like more than sewing. And then I moved here and I never wear sweaters anymore. So I just like really, really focused on sewing, and I just do a little bit of knitting here and there.
Lots of linen, I'm sure.
Yeah. Lots of casual like, t-shirts and stuff.
Awesome. Well, looking into the future, do you have any goals for future growth?
You know, I really don't. I've just been letting it go organically. And I really, you know, I want to stay just like really genuine and kind of true to my brand. So, I haven't set any goals, you know, like, oh, I want to hit 25,000 followers or anything like that. Just keep doing the same thing and hoping it continues working. I do really try to keep up to date with the changes in Instagram because, you know, like the change in the timeline recently, I think that's probably changed some things. So I just try to read up about like what's going on and like learn from other people about how the changes are affecting kind of interactions and how to work with that.
Have you found personally that these changes have affected your feed? Have you kind of noticed an impact?
It's really hard to tell. I think follower count has probably, or follower growth has like maybe stayed the same or gotten better. And I think maybe follower growth is kind of like a self-perpetuating thing. Like the more followers you get, the more Instagram will suggest you to other people. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it's easier to grow the more you grow. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Because, you know, they've added features where if you follow one person, it'll suggest other people to follow. And I think that really helps. And I like to use that feature too. Like when I go look at people's accounts and it shows me other people, I always look and say like, oh, who are these? And the more likes you get on the photo, the more likely it would show up in like other people's explore feed. Mm-hmm. So, just getting that gradual like can help you.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But it is a little different because I think like you're more likely to show up higher in the new feed arrangement, the more likes and the more interaction you get. So I think if you kind of, like if you had a photo that wasn't very popular, it might never get seen.
Yeah.
You know, like if it wasn't popular in the first hour, then it could like just end up at the bottom of people's feed.
So interesting. Like when the change first happened, I know you and probably everyone else in the world heard so much about it on social media. Yeah. People were really freaking out. But personally, on my end, I haven't really noticed a whole lot of difference in, like, maybe the way like my feed looks and even like my own interactions and how I'm interacting with people, I haven't really noticed a change personally. So whatever's happening, it's pretty slick. I haven't noticed too much of it.
Yeah, I think at first it was really confusing, especially in my personal account, to look at things and be like, wait, but I saw that photo on Facebook yesterday. Why is that at the top of my Instagram feed? Is no one posting? So it was just confusing time-wise. Like, this happened. This didn't happen today. This didn't happen right now. So now I'm like more used to that. But there's, you know, I think in the older days of Instagram, you could post like one photo after another and show like your process in something. But now that chronology is all mixed up. So you can't do that really anymore.
It's interesting. But do you think maybe that's why Instagram stories came to light and came to be?
Probably, yeah. And that's an interesting development that I've only played with a little bit. But I do really like the idea of it, that you can kind of, you can show your in-process stuff or things that, you know, you might not want to have as a video or not might want to have as a like regular post in your feed, but you could show like, oh, here I am at the fabric store. And it's a really ugly fabric store that would make a horrible picture, but
it's cool for this story. No, definitely.
Yeah. But it's fun to share here.
And it's just kind of a new, interesting way of sharing things. A couple of weekends ago, I shared an entire like progress afternoon of me making this dress, and I didn't expect it to go over super well, but it did. People were really into watching the whole progress, which was insane because it was a really long story. But
That's really cool. Yeah, I've just shared some things here and there, but it is fun, and it's fun to like get some comments from people. And I didn't know how that would work at first, but you know, when you do your story and people watch it, they can just send you a private message about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a different interaction than your regular posts.
I hope one day they add the feature to be able to snap back with a picture. I think that would be really awesome.
Oh, make yeah.
Make it more Snapchat-esque. That's my hope, at least.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Well, Beth, that about rounds up all the questions I had for you today. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
I don't think so. Oh, you know, I was going to do a special code.
Ooh.
A discount code. Yeah.
Listen up, everyone.
I'd almost forgotten. Yeah, I haven't put it together yet, but I will do a 15% off discount code for all your listeners on my patterns.
Awesome. Perfect.
How
about I set that up in the show notes?
Yes, I think that's a good idea. We'll put it in there and then we can time it for when this goes live.
Awesome, perfect. There's still a few more to film for season one. Beth is my very first interview. The first episode hasn't even gone on to iTunes yet. This is very pre-process. But
Yeah, and it was so fun to do this. This is also my first podcast. So.
Well, welcome to the podcasting world. It's been a blast. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Rachel. I had a good time.
Awesome. If anyone wants to find you after the show, where would be the best place for them to find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at SoDIYBlog, and then you can find my website at SoDIY.com.
And that's so S-E-W, right?
Yes, that's right. So I post about what I've made and occasionally do tutorials with tips for sewing. And I have a few patterns. So come follow me on Instagram.
I'd love to meet you. The wrap skirt pattern is phenomenal. I've been eyeing it for a while. I'm going to take a little peek at it after. But you guys should go check it out. Awesome.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you very much, Beth.
Great. Thank you.
Have a good
weekend.
You too. Bye. Bye. Hey, everyone. As promised, I just wanted to log back on really quickly and let you know a few more details about the wonderful promo code that Beth is giving out to all Maker Style listeners. Woo! The code is MakerStyle15OFF. MakerStyle15OFF. And this code is going to be valid from October 23rd to November 7th. At midnight Pacific time,
2016. So you've got a little bit of time there to go online to sewdiy.com and have a quick little browse through it, all the amazing patterns that Beth has on offer there. Some of my personal favorites are the Nina wrap skirt, which I mentioned in the podcast, and the Lou box top, which is just a really fun kind of boxy woven tee. So yay, love woven tees. Now, an important thing to note is that this code is only valid on individual patterns. So the beginner bundle is excluded, but still the Nina wrap skirt, the Lou box top, and the baseball skirt are all available for you to get with a wonderful 15% off coupon. So if you've ever been interested in giving a Sew DIY pattern a try, now is an awesome time. And thank you so much, Beth, for giving that to us. Super sweet. Thank you. Hey everyone, that's all I have for today's episode of the Maker Style Podcast. I hope that you guys enjoyed listening to that episode just as much as I did recording it, because I had so much fun. You know, my favorite part of this process has been meeting all of you guys. It's been a total blast. If you haven't already come over and said hi, you can do so at my blog at The Wild Stitch, or give me a shout out on Instagram at The Wild Stitch. I am so excited to meet you guys and hang out with you guys there. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.